The trigger would not budge. The other two tried as well. They got red in the face with strain, but the guns would not fire.
I told you the guns won't work, Stoner said. You don't have any need for them. I'm not going to cause any trouble.
Tavalera broke into a grin.
You've already caused trouble. You've got them all scared shitless.
Scared? Why? Stoner looked Tavalera over, then asked, Are you frightened of me?
Hell yes.
Why?
Tavalera waved a hand in the air.
You pop in just like a genie. Whoosh, you're here.
That frightens you.
You bet it does. And you bring me up to your spacecraft just like snapping your fingers.
Stoner admitted, I suppose that did seem strange to you.
Who are you? Mayfair sputtered. What are you doing here? What do you want?
I am Keith Stoner. I'm here to prevent you from dragging this young man off to a forced interrogation because he told you the truth. I want to save the human race.
Save us? Mayfair's brows knit.
Save us from what?
From the nuclear war that's about to begin. From the total extinction of the entire human race.
What nuclear war? Asked the guard leader.
It's been brewing for decades, Stoner replied. And you don't seem to have the defensive shields that we gave you back before I left for the stars.
You're crazy, Mayfair shouted.
Stoner shook his head. Anything that you don't understand or won't understand, you label as crazy. Strange attitude for a clinical psychologist.
Is Atlanta going to be bombed?
The guard leader asked, his voice hollow.
If we allow the war to start, yes.
You can stop it?
No, said Stoner. But you can, I hope.
Chapter 3. The guards still held their pistols in their hands, but they had allowed their arms to drop to their sides. Mayfair still sat rigidly behind his desk, his face set in a tight, frightened glare.
Tavalera stood before the desk facing Stoner. There can't be a nuclear war, he said. Nuclear weapons have been banned for nearly half a century.
Forbidden, but not forgotten, Stoner said gravely. The truce between the Western nations and the nations of Islam is falling apart. Population pressures are building, and your resources are being depleted faster than ever.
But we've got fusion energy, natural resources from the asteroids.
You're building a pressure cooker here on this planet. More resources lead to bigger population. Resources from space have delayed the inevitable, but the war is still coming, unless you take steps to prevent it.
Mayfair asked in a more subdued voice,
How do you know this?
Ignoring his question, Stoner said,
Your government is actually run by your new morality organization. I've got to meet with their leader.
Archbishop Overmeyer?
Franklin Haverford Overmeyer, yes, he's the one.
But you can't just walk in and see the Archbishop, said Mayfair. Not even I can do that.
Smiling tightly, Stoner replied,
I could. But I'd rather he was prepared to meet with me and have a serious discussion. A very serious discussion.
Mayfair fell silent.
Can you arrange such a meeting for me? Stoner asked.
Obviously struggling within himself, Mayfair said,
It's impossible. No one can.
Stoner crossed his arms over his chest. Mayfair was perspiring visibly, beads of sweat dotting his forehead and upper lip.
I don't have access to the Archbishop. I truly don't.
Then who does?
Bishop Craig,
Mayfair said, almost in a whimper.
I could bring you to Bishop Craig.
With a satisfied nod, then let's go see Bishop Craig.
Almost like a puppet being hauled to its feet by invisible strings, Mayfair rose from his chair and stepped hesitantly around his desk. To the empty air he called,
Phone! Alert Bishop Craig! We're coming to his office. We'll arrive in about 10 minutes.
Stoner crooked a finger at Tavalera. You'd better come along, too. Tavalera watched Mayfair totter to the door of his office, past the three stone-silent security guards, and out into the anteroom. Stoner walked beside him, towering almost a full head taller than Mayfair.
He's controlling the dock, Tavalera realized. He's making Mayfair do what he wants.
Is he controlling me?
No, Tavalera thought. I want to go along on this.
I want to see Bishop Craig and Archbishop Overmeyer. Tavalera had no doubt at all that Stoner would get his meeting with the Archbishop.
Zebulon Josephus Craig was a small man, slim and diminutive, almost elfin. His pate had been totally bald since he'd been 40, and his skin was as dark as milk chocolate. Bishop Craig was always as neat and sharp as a pin. Clerical suits that looked drab and ordinary on other men seemed to fit him so perfectly that he looked like an ecclesiastical fashion plate. His colleagues often called him Dapper Dan, although never to his face. He was an energetic man who obviously enjoyed the smaller pleasures of life, good companionship, a job well done. Beneath his charming, accommodating exterior, though, beat a coldly calculating, driving ambition. He wanted to become the New Morality's next archbishop. He wanted the power to choose presidents and senators. He wanted to run the nation and much of the world the way it should be run. Archbishop Overmeyer was an old and ailing man, Craig estimated. The archbishop had vowed never to accept the rejuvenation treatments or other anti-aging therapies of the secular scientists. Artificial hearts and replacement organs, stem cell therapy, telomerase injections. They were forbidden to the ordinary faithful, and their archbishop would not partake of them either, even though he knew that lesser souls had done so in secret. None of that for the leader of the New Morality. The archbishop promised he would live out the natural span of years that God had allotted him and no more. The archbishop could not possibly last for much longer, thought Bishop Craig. The game now was to position himself to be elected the next archbishop. Craig used his charm and his coolly detached intelligence to move ahead of his rival bishops in the unannounced, never-admitted race to become the next archbishop of the New Morality movement. The thought had occurred to him more than once that an enterprising man might not even have to wait until God called Overmeyer to him. The current archbishop could retire or be found physically unable to continue carrying his heavy burdens. Meanwhile, Bishop Craig kept on his course, winning approval for his relentless campaigns to root out evil, to bring all believers into one harmonious mindset, to enforce submission to God's will and stamp out every form of doubt and nonconformity wherever he found it. Outwardly, Bishop Craig was a pleasant, chipper, friendly man. He treated his staff well. He had legions of friends and supporters. He liked to laugh. But he was not laughing as he stared at the image of the uniformed security guard on the wall screen to the left of his desk. "Yes, sir," the guard was saying. "He got Dr. Mayfair to lead him up to your office, sir. They're on their way now." Craig shook his head. "Mayfair knows better than that. My staff won't allow anyone to walk in here without an appointment, without an agenda that I have personally approved." The guard shrugged his broad shoulders. "They're on their way to your office, sir, with this Tavalera guy tagging along." "Tavalera? Who on earth is Tavalera?" "I'll shoot you his dossier, sir." "Do that." Craig cut the connection and the wall screen returned to its default mode, showing a reproduction of Giotto's crucifixion scene. An eye blink later, it was replaced by the ID photo and personnel file of one Raul Raymond Tavalera. Bishop Craig scanned Tavalera's file, noting that the young man had spent time aboard the Goddard Habitat. His eyes narrowed at that. "We sent those hotheads and dissidents all the way out to Saturn, and yet here's one of them come back to stir up trouble. I'll have to deal with him." Then he saw that Sister Angelique had taken over Tavalera's case and was employing him as part of her investigation into this Stoner business. Stoner? He claims he's been out to the stars. More likely he's escaped from some asylum, and he's on his way to my office, according to Mayfair's security guard. Craig leaned back in his desk chair and thought, "I'll have to deal with Stoner as well as Tavalera. Deal with them both. Sternly."
Apologia pro vita sua by Yolanda Vasquez. They say that God must love the common man, because he made so many of them. Perhaps so. But it seems to me that God's wrath is directed at the poor and defenseless.